Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me via phone is a very dear friend of Holy Spirit Radio for many years, Mr. Bill Zalot. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And Bill, before we get started and go further, I want to open this up with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. And, you know, we talk periodically. You know, you call the station and to, you know, say hi to us, and we have conversation. And also sometimes you call and ask for prayer, and we put the prayers in, you know, we record periodically. But Bill, how long have you been listening to Holy Spirit Radio?
About 6-7 years.
6-7 years. And how did you come across the signal or come across the station, if you don't mind sharing that?
Through the internet. I have trouble with reception of radio in my apartment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understand that. As of late, I mean, how's our streaming, you know, when you listen to us on the computer?
It's been very well.
Excellent.
It's been a few items of problems, but they're understandable.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, hey, Bill, give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself. And I know that you were in social work. That was your training back in college. Is that correct?
Or yes.
Okay, excellent. So expand upon that. Where did you go to school?
I went to Westchester's University. It was called Westchester State College at the time.
Okay. And you, right now, what's on your heart is, and you texted it to me or emailed it to me, is a story that was pivotal in your journey to Christ. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about. And that happened at Westchester. If you don't mind sharing with our listeners, I mean, there are some physical challenges that you have. If you want to share that as part of the backdrop of your story and your testimony that you're going to give.
So I have spastic cerebral palsy. I've had to use a wheelchair all my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I use a power chair for mobility these days.
Mm. Okay. Since you've been using a wheelchair and then the power chair all your life, are you very adept or pretty adept at operating those, or your power chair nowadays?
Or do you find pretty much.
Okay. I know some in the last year or two, I mean, sometimes some of the prayers that you ask us, you know, to say, I mean, sometimes you were having problems with some of the equipment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, and I know, but it all worked out in the end, did it not? Yes. Okay.
And I've had a few health problems that I've dealt with in the last year or so.
Okay. But you're doing okay now?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. But let's get back to the story that, the testimony that you shared with me, and then I would like you to share with our listeners. So let's go back to, what was it, 41 years ago when you were at Westchester? And could you pick up the story and the testimony from there?
That was my second year there. And it was after that I really got involved with the Newman Center. I first gone to Bucks County Community College.
Mm-hmm.
3 years it took me to get through that. And then I went to Westchester to finish my last 2 years and 3 years.
Okay, in social work, correct?
Yes. And I did my field placement at Eagleville.
Oh, okay. Okay. And did you go on to a career in social working?
No. Dealing with the problems with working at the drug rehab really got to me because I took it very personally with regard to the patients.
Okay, okay.
And I found it non-adaptable to me.
Mm-hmm. So you opted not to pursue that line of work, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. But let's go back to the story that you were telling me. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, at that time, I basically got very involved with the Newman Center after that incident and really got involved with the community, with the dinners and other social things, and as well as mass daily mm-hmm. when I was able to get there.
If I can digress, what isn't the Newman Center?
The Newman Center is a place, a Catholic center that is run by a chaplain that has all kinds of activities mm-hmm. For the young people, dinners and social things like dances and different things like that, as well as mass and other Catholic things like penance and services and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's they're located at colleges and universities across the country, correct? And maybe around the world.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. And, well, thank you for going with that and sharing that with our listeners, because many may have heard about Newman Centers but may not know. Continue with your story.
Before that, I was basically a Sunday Catholic, where I only went to Mass Sunday and forgot about God the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. And then just going about your business and, well, in the secular world, and then nary given a thought to the Lord, is that what you're saying? Until you went to Mass on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So did you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit talking to you, or was it a worldly event that and a person that may have led you to Christ?
It was the different people that were around me, because despite being angry as a child, people around me would treat me like they were, like as a normal person, and that finally had an impact on my life. I had a strong family that had said the rosary every day and everything else, and so we had a good family background.
Mm-hmm. But who was this person? Was she in your social work classes? But I think, was she a senior?
She was a senior, and I was a junior at the time.
Okay, so what happened? I mean, you talk about she was walking with you on campus.
My family, I went home for the Easter break, and I found out that in September my father had a heart attack. And nobody had told me about that, so I went home. And a friend of mine was sent to a place in Allentown called the Good Shepherd Home, and nobody had told me about that either. And so I was angry, and I kept silent that whole weekend, and she allowed me to open up. And we opened up Scripture, and we read about the road to Emmaus, and that made a big difference.
Okay, so I'm going to pull that up. You say, in what you sent to me, when we got there, I opened my Bible to a passage in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning with verse 13, the walk to Emmaus. It's quite a long passage, but it says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. So go on from there. So what's the importance of this passage? What were they alluding to in that passage?
I related so well to it because I often spoke to people about my physical disability, But that was the first time I talked about my emotional needs. I was always afraid to talk about my emotional needs to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost destroyed me.
Mm. So what was your mindset? I mean, why were you afraid to open up, if you don't mind me asking that?
Because I thought dealing with my physical needs was enough for people to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept silent about the other things.
Okay. So you kind of avoided the other things. I understand that. You opened up to her about these things that you found out that really hurt you and nearly destroyed you. And so how did she help?
She showed me that I can do that with others, and I could help others by opening up and sharing. That's helped me with my writing, too, because I shared with others about my limitations and other people's limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work did a column for the Courier Times monthly, called from where I sit.
Okay. So, I mean, you enjoy writing. You're a good writer. So that allows you to capture your thoughts, your feelings, and a way of expressing yourself, correct?
Yes. And when I was younger, I used to use puppets.
Oh, did you?
To talk about my anger without involving myself.
Mm-hmm.
And several years ago, I met Father Mike Scanlon, and he told me I had to write about my disability because that was just a part of the gift God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of it that way. And he was such a wonderful man, Father Scanlon, who was the president of the University of Steubenville.
So how did you meet him? How did that happen?
I went to a conference in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And that had another life-changing impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never thought of doing that.
So, but back to this this woman who helped you. What was her name?
Her name was BJ.
Well, there was the longer passage of On the Road to Emmaus. But you said, when we reached my dorm room, I opened my Bible to the passage above. After reading it, I told her all that I had found out that holiday weekend. A great burden was lifted. As I poured out my heart, this upper classmate showed me in her ability to truly listen the compassion of Christ. In doing so, that night, that senior social welfare student may have saved my life. How did she save your life?
Just by listening. We can do so much by listening to people and being there for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I've done that the rest of my life. I've been doing that.
That was a sea change in your life and pivotal. And where, okay, so she empathized with you and she related to you on a very human level, you know, and you saw Christ in her. And so that set the example for you. And your growth, and what a powerful story that is. And that can happen, and it has happened in my life and many other listeners' lives. But, Bill, you're an inspiration in that regard. So after she listened and you felt so much better after, you know, pouring out your heart to her and your soul, anything else you'd want to say after that?
What just changed my life? Changed my whole perspective of things, and I didn't feel so trapped by my own limitations.
Excellent. And you went on to say, in that encounter, I met Christ in the breaking of the bread of my life and all its vulnerability. God showed me that evening our need for others can be our gift to mankind. In the broken, God shows His glory. I thought that was so powerful, and it is powerful. And you, again, your witness and testimony is a great example to those who listen will listen to this. A true inspiration, just as BJ was for you, you are to them, okay, and can be for them. If they're struggling, if have a physical disability and are challenged or whatever, even an emotional disability, yes, that it's very... very inspirational that if you find someone who really is truly listening and relating to you and can help you, it can be a life-changing event. Okay, well, Bill, thanks. Well, I've known you since I've been working here, known you via phone, but then I have met you at Queen of the Universe Parish, which is your parish in Levittown. Is that correct?
Yes.
You've been a member there or a parishioner there for, what, 7 or 8 years, you said? And because you find that Queen of the Universe Parish is, in your estimation, it's welcoming and warm and genuine. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, and I would recommend anybody that wants to start to better develop their relationship with Christ to go to adoration at least once a week and spend time with him.
Adoration is key. I agree with that. How about the rosary? Is the rosary and our Blessed Mother important in your life?
Yeah, I use the scripture rosary, too. I use the scripture rosary because it's hard to use the rosary beads my fingers, when my spasticity. And they help me keep my focus on the mysteries. And that's been a wonderful gift in my life.
Well, thank you, Bill. And you've also shared with me that, you know, you do some writing. And is there anything in progress now? Or you mentioned a book. Was it on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Go ahead.
It's called From Where I Sit.
From Where I Sit. Okay. And what's that about?
It's a collection of columns I've written over the years.
And the nature of it? This is part
of... all kinds of subjects.
Okay, well, give us an example. Give us a snippet of
well,
something.
Well, there's what I've done on MD and cerebral palsy and agencies that help the disabled.
So if someone wanted to access or find that book on Amazon, how do they get to it?
They can get it through it by my name or by the title From Where I Sit. I know there's several books that are called that, but... my name is Bill Zalot.
Okay, and spell your last name for our listeners, if you don't.
A-L-O-T, Z as in zebra, A as in man, L as in lion, O as in oats, and T as in toast.
Okay, thanks. How long has that been out?
It's been out since 12.
And I think we have a copy here. I look forward to finding that and reading that, Bill.
Thank you very much.
And do you have anything else in the works that will be coming out in the near future?
I'm hoping to. I've been writing ever since then, and so I'm hoping to put another collection together.
Okay, well, excellent. Well, when you get it together and are ready, won't you just, you know, give me a holler, you know, Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, and I'd be happy to go over that with you and hear what it's all about. Okay, Bill?
Thank you very much.
All right. Bill, do you have any other things you want to share with our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners?
Well, there's such a variety of programming on the network that it's wonderful. It's a great part of the EWTN network, and I'm so glad I became a member of the community.
And you are a loyal and faithful listener and contributor and supporter of Holy Spirit Radio and EWTN.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll be driving up to the station, and I might be listening to Women of Grace, hosted by Jeanette Benkovic Williams, and there you are. You know, well, Bill called in because there's something on his mind, and he's discussing it with a national and international audience through that that way. What are some of your other favorite programs on network?
Well, Songs of the Spirit was one of my favorites that they still have on podcast. That even though Kathy had died, they still have it on podcast, which is wonderful to go back to and listen to.
Yeah, Songs for the Spirit was excellent, and that, and Bill's referring to or alluding to Kathy Gasson, who was actually, she trained me on how to run the board and do this basic radio thing, such as interviewing and then editing. And she was, but what a wonderful soul, a beautiful soul. And she passed, it was 2016, I believe. And
but she was a wonderful person.
She was. And she loved music. And so then she started the show, Our Songs for the Spirit. I use some of those that are in her folder if I need background material or background listening. And I use those from time to time.
And I love the journey home. I watch it or listen to it all the time. Testimonies of people coming in to the church are a powerful way to draw others into the church.
Absolutely. 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 Have you been in touch with anyone at the Journey Home about your story?
Well, I give regularly to Marcus's program as efforts with the Coming Home Network.
Yes. Well, one of the producers of that, key producer, is a gentleman by the name of Matt Swaim, and he's also the co-host of the Sunrise Morning Show, which is based out of, comes out of Sacred Heart Radio in Cincinnati, but through EWTN. And I listen to that every morning. It comes on at 6 a.m. Well, actually, they have 2 hours of national, and then their third hour. Can you imagine doing, 3 hours of radio? They have guests. That's a, that's a feat in and of itself. But Matt is so good, and Anna Mitchell is so good. An excellent morning show on network is the Sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-S-E, morning show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Yes,
yes, they're wonderful together.
Absolutely. Our oftentimes...
I love Father Ricardo's program.
Oh, yes, Father John Ricardo. We play him at 10 daily.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
So, I mean, we can go down a lot of these shows, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, many of you are our faithful listeners, do listen to many of the national programs, and we really appreciate that. And we really appreciate your support and continued support for Holy Spirit Radio, as we go forward. And we came on the air, Bill, you may know this already, but we came on the Feast of St. Joseph, 19th of March, 1999, and we were the... 23rd affiliate at the time in Mother Angelica's, fledgling network. And everyone knows EWTN is a juggernaut of faith, for our Lord Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. Well, Bill, I think we're coming to the end of our segment here. Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, just keep listening to the radio station and you'll learn so much. You'll get fed. And then ways, especially if you can't get out to a parish or someplace, you can listen to the programming all the time.
I've been wanting to do an interview with you for a long time, and I'm so glad that you took the time out of your schedule to share with our listeners your story, okay?
Well, God bless you, and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Bill. God bless.
Bye.
This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. Talk to you next time on Spirit of the Delaware Valley. Take care.